of Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back. It is 12:06 at 12:60 WRC. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Happy Thursday to you. Wow, not snowing. Kind of rare. Did I hear that we could have snow off and on throughout the weekend? Well, flurries, snow showers, that kind of stuff. Anyway. All right, well, we'll deal with that when we have to. Right now we're going to deal with a guy who is responsible, at least in part, for a story that generated some waves yesterday, if you will. Guy Taylor joins me now, Washington Times State Department correspondent. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hey Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I saw the headline this morning, Special Congressional Panel to Investigate FBI Contact with Bin Laden. Now, you know, obviously, folks listening to this show know, if you were listening yesterday, that in a Washington Times exclusive, it was revealed that the FBI had a source very close to Osama bin Laden dating back to 1993, yet that information was never revealed to lawmakers or to the 9/11 Commission, and that you guys sort of, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you were working on another story and you stumbled upon this?
That's right. I had actually done a takeout story a couple of weeks ago about the evolution of Al-Qaeda, and looked a little bit at the history, and that story drummed up quite a bit of conversation in the legal universe that surrounds the law enforcement and intelligence community. And we got a tip about this revelation that had been out in a late 2000s FBI employment dispute case involving a guy who acted as the head Arabic translator for the Bureau in the years before 9/11. Anyhow, during that case, that was the case of Bassem Youssef, by the way, and during that case there was the former head of the Los Angeles field office of the FBI came and testified and suddenly revealed in this testimony, and bear in mind this was in 2010, before basically an empty courtroom, the media wasn't paying much attention, other observers, and just testified that in fact the FBI had a source very close to bin Laden in the early 90s. And we saw this, we dug out the court document, we looked at it, and we thought, well, okay, this is really old and historic and whatnot, but it's interesting to us because we're always trying to get facts that can sort of now add to the, what I like to describe as like the second draft of history now that we're so many years on from 9/11. And sure enough, we find that this information about the FBI Los Angeles field office and this bin Laden source never was reported by all those heated, intense, congressionally backed probes that went into 9/11 and Al-Qaeda during the early 2000s. You'll remember the 9/11 Commission report. No
sure.
mention of this in
yeah.
there. And even the 9/11 Commission report's conclusion was that Osama bin Laden's role in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing was, quote, murky at best. So, look, I don't want to... We tried really hard, Andy, to frame this story as more of a historical reader that tries to get the record straight.
Yeah.
More, and not frame it as just a story that would fertilize the already very rich landscape of 9/11 conspiracy theories. You know, I think there are a lot of questions that come up about this, most pertinently being what else didn't make it into the 9/11 Commission
All
report.
Right. Okay, now, I guess this story sent a few ripples through some congressional offices yesterday, and you ended up speaking with Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia, and I guess he's going to help move this forward?
That's right. So, actually, Frank Wolf has been pushing for a couple of years to create a commission or a new panel that's packed with some senior intelligence and law enforcement community guys that would take an independent look at how the FBI has done, you know, have they succeeded or failed in implementing all these recommendations about data sharing, intelligence sharing, office organization in counterterrorism. That these are recommendations that were made in 2004 by the 9/11 Commission. So Wolf, Congressman Wolf, had actually pushed this through in the last appropriations bill, and it was signed into law in January by President Obama. So what I did, you know, last night, Wolf's people got in touch with us, and they said, wow, we had no idea this was out there, and what we're going to do is have this panel that was just created. This is exactly in line with what they should be looking at. So that's, you know, exciting to us because it tells us that there are people in Congress that are also interested in correcting the record or getting the full story and adding to what I'm describing there as that second draft of history. Whether or not there's a big scandal in this, you know, I'm going to leave that to you and other guests in terms of what it would mean way back then. I mean, I'm in this situation, Andy, where I'm out talking to sources now, and there aren't a lot of active agents in the law enforcement and intelligence community today who were doing anything 25 years ago that really know about this stuff. So it is another sort of narrative maker story.
Right.
But yeah, Frank Wolf's that panel is looking into it, and they're actually going to testify in late March before the Appropriations Committee with their findings. So I think we'll hear more about this.
Yeah, that panel, a lot of big names on there.
That's right. Well, actually, there's Bruce Hoffman, who's he's an expert at
Georgetown.
Yeah. And there's a couple other congressmen, former congressmen that are on it, and I think
Ed Meese is on there, right? Is it Ed Meese on there, too?
Ed Meese is on there, yeah. And Ed Meese, you know, I think one of the things that's important here with this panel is, and Frank Wolf, is that back before 9/11, Frank Wolf pushed for a similar panel that put out a report in the year 2000. That panel was called the Bremer Commission. I don't know if you recall that.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about the Bremer Commission was that it in 2000, about months before the 9/11 attacks, it put out this really aggressive description of what Al-Qaeda was at that time and what the threat posed by bin Laden was. And that the report got some attention. I mean, in this sort of sad and horrific irony, the cover of that report had the Twin Towers on it in the World Trade Center. So, you know, I'm not trying to fearmonger here or drum things up. I think I'm trying to report on the community of people who take the terrorism threat extremely seriously and look at it around the world and say, look, it's not the only time we've ever really had a clear picture and clear narrative in this country about what Al-Qaeda was during the years right after 9/11, where we had a political consensus in this country that it was a secretive network that had backed 19 extremists in hijacking airplanes. Today we have a very different picture of it. There are former head of the CIA, Michael Hayden, told us recently that Al-Qaeda as a movement controls more territory around the world today than it did in 1999 and 2000.
Huh.
And all we're trying to do is stories that try to get the light of day, that have an honest conversation about the threat and the extent to which it deserves ongoing oversight.
Yeah. I guess the big question for me is, you know, what information did we have? When did we have it? And why didn't it get to the powers that be?
I think the first question of what information we had, and this is why this story, yesterday's story, was so sexy about the mole close to bin Laden, is because it deals with what in the intelligence community is called penetration. So with all these extremist groups, whether it's Al-Qaeda or another group that's bent on terrorism or has carried out terrorism in a given part of the world, one of the things that the U.S. intelligence community tries to do is penetrate the group by placing moles or getting people close inside. And we don't really hear very much about it because it's extremely classified, and it's very dangerous because if the mole is found out, they're usually immediately killed. As we're seeing now in the follow-up reporting to our scoop yesterday, NBC had a story today, and we're scrambling right now to verify it and flesh it out on our own, that this mole that we reported on yesterday was actually usurped from the FBI and brought over to the CIA and later run into Bosnia in the mid and late 90s to try and dig out information about extremists operating on the opposition side of the Bosnian war that we were supporting and ultimately was found out and as a CIA asset by his brethren in the war and killed for it. So this is highly classified stuff that you deal with, and what we can draw from this is we can draw questions about what's going on now. What are the U.S. law enforcement and CIA operations now with regard to, say, trying to penetrate Al-Qaeda-linked and inspired groups, say, operating in Syria?
Right.
Very similar to the war in Bosnia. We're supporting behind the scenes the opposition.
Guy, I'm going to have to cut you off here because I'm running out of time, but we're going to talk about this as we go forward. I know the investigation is far from over. And thanks for joining me today. Appreciate
it. Andrew, thanks so much. Always great.
Take care. Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent, 1216, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. I'll be right back.